In the last 3 years, more of the population has lost confidence in doctors than probably any other time in history. While that may sound bad to some people, it is actually a good thing, because the fraud of allopathic medicine has been so overt on the COVID-19 front that it has opened many eyes to its wider problems. Almost every week, I hear stories from individuals who were disgusted by their doctor's behaviour when it came to the COVID injections and mandates, some to the extent where they started to wonder about all their doctor's so-called health advice. Let's have a look at the website that once contained 6,500 such doctors who were rigid advocates of injecting and masking their fellow citizens. The website has since been quietly disappeared, but does this mean that the overall direction is about to change? When my husband Mark and I were doctors in the system, the most esteemed and rewarded colleagues were often those that could recite medical dogma the most accurately. It was literally the way to win awards and secure so-called top positions in both academic and clinical medicine. We were not encouraged to question the prescribed textbooks or published papers in peer-reviewed journals like The Lancet or the British Medical Journal. In general, we were expected to regurgitate the claims which were said to represent the highest level of scientific evidence. Many of you will already know that we both woke up to the systematic fraud of allopathic medicine, with Mark electing to leave the system in 2016, and then me in 2021, during peak COVID-19 madness. The problem with the medical system is that it was co-opted so long ago that nobody in generations has seen what a health system would look like. As one of my good friends in Switzerland says, it is not a health system, it is a sick system. A system that is increasingly complicated, expensive, and dangerous. The practitioners in many parts of the medical system may be hardworking and think they're helping, but sadly, they have been duped into paying homage to false models and often harm, if not kill, people. The COVID-19 fraud exposed them completely on this front, as the majority of doctors and nurses stood by and allowed the public to be subjected to all kinds of tyranny and abuse. Several felt the need to make TikTok videos to flaunt how much fun they were having, mocking the taxpayers being forced to fund them. They possibly behave this way because, as I've mentioned, they are indoctrinated not to question the medical establishment and think that the, quote, science is on their side. It is clear that the majority of them do not critically appraise the evidence in their own practices and often do not have any insight into what qualifies as scientific evidence. In their minds, the science is decided by Bill Gates, the government, the corporate sponsors of the medical journals, and Facebook community guidelines.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
During the COVID era, they were intoxicated by the apparent support from these quarters. No matter how preposterous the claims, they went along with it.
TPM's lead author made his dramatic intervention on Sunday, 22nd of March, by going to the media with the alarming claim that his provisional modelling produced on its kitchen table suggested that 60,000 would die unless an aggressive suppression strategy was implemented as soon as practicable, which, miraculously, would save 50,000 of those lives. It was all rough and ready, the modellers having no precedent to refer to regarding the effects of such a strategy, but more importantly, having no idea if the virus even existed. As the lead author admitted, these results had been produced with a lot of guesswork, relying on overseas data, while the modelling itself treated New Zealand as one big city where anyone has a chance of infecting anyone else. A fundamental error that contributed to the report's preposterous fatality predictions. By the next morning, TPM's 60,000 had risen to 1.67% of the population, or 83,500, who could die without any public health intervention measures. A fantastical story with no basis in reality, but one that had parliamentarians shaking in their boots, and that the wizards still believe 1 year later. Extrapolated to the world's population, TPN's Ministry of Self-Promotion had just predicted that 130 million people would die worldwide. The small TPN group were richly rewarded by the government with a $6 million prize for helping them promote a nonsensical narrative and drive baseless fear into the population of New Zealand.
While some of those deepest in the medical cult continue to think there was an actual pandemic and that the COVID-19 jabs were offering protection from a non-existent virus, there has definitely been a change in the air. Here in New Zealand in 2021, not content with around-the-clock vaccine propaganda on state-sponsored media, an Auckland doctor, Elspeth Frascatore, launched the Doctors Stand Up for Vaccination campaign. The letter stated, "We wish to present a united and evidence-based voice to the people of Aotearoa New Zealand in support of vaccination against COVID-19 for all eligible New Zealanders. There is a great deal of misinformation that circulates regarding COVID-19, and sometimes it can be hard to know where to look for medically sound and approved advice. We overwhelmingly support vaccination against COVID-19 and other public health measures such as mask use in public areas, physical distancing, and hand hygiene." What did they mean by medically sound and approved advice? The website had a FAQ page where some citations are provided, mostly in the form of links to government websites. Perhaps because these doctors actually believed the propaganda, even when they were told it was propaganda.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
Apparently, 6,781 doctors in New Zealand signed this letter and now find themselves permanently incriminated in assault and homicide against their fellow citizens. We cannot find any evidence that Elspeth understands any virology or the PCR or anything else related to the propagation of the COVID-19 fraud. In fact, her Twitter feed reveals that she... I'll leave it to you to decide what her posts reveal. Suffice to say that she is still personally advocating the poisoned needle. In any case, the website Elspeth founded with the letter that over 6,000 of the most clueless doctors in the world signed has now disappeared. In early March, Health Freedom Group, New Zealand Doctors SOS, noted the unannounced disappearance and reported that the domain name was up for sale. A search on archive.org reveals that the website was defunct by the 5th of December 2022. We don't know the exact reason that the website was taken down, but the timing is interesting. And don't worry, you can still access the list of doctors at archive.org, and we and others downloaded the list from the website when it was active. One suspects that Elspeth and some of the fanatics who signed the letter in support of face masks, social isolation experiments, and mass injections of a toxic pharmaceutical might have lost confidence. Keep in mind, however, that these are the doctors who are the deepest into the cult. Of course, they are hopelessly naive when it comes to the fraud of virology, germ theory, and contagion, but they are a step worse, as even within their false paradigms of health, they were happy to cheerlead an injection of which they generally knew nothing about. Again, it cannot be stressed enough that most of these doctors do not analyse evidence for themselves. Indoctrinated to be obedient, they defer to authority without any reflection that they personally know nothing about the material. If we look at the Doctors Stand Up for Vaccination archived endorsements page, we can see that all of the various medical colleges were also scrambling to add their names to the letter. The doctors in the colleges are not particularly brave, as they already knew that their overlords, the New Zealand Medical Council, encouraged such activity. As we covered in 2021, this is the syndicate that issued the quote, guidance to all doctors, stating, "You should be prepared to discuss evidence-based information about vaccination and its benefits to assist informed decision-making. As regulators, we respect an individual's right to have their own opinions, but It is our view that there is no place for anti-vaccination messages in professional health practice, nor any promotion of anti-vaccination claims, including on social media and advertising by health practitioners. So, what citations did the Medical Council provide as their evidence that vaccination has benefits? None, of course. Their only links are to government propaganda websites like the Ministry of Health, encouraging people to book in for more shots. As we have explained in Virus Mania, COVID-19 vaccines are no different than any vaccine in history. They are based on bankrupt models, and none of them can benefit any recipient. Pathogenic viruses have never been shown to exist, and we have exposed every aspect of how the virologists' methodologies have failed to provide scientific evidence for them. But even leaving the virus existence issue aside, there is a wider problem for the germophobes. That is the fact that the pathogen model of disease is incorrect, because no microbe has ever been shown to be capable of causing disease in healthy humans through natural exposure. The establishment's incorrect model has been inappropriately called a scientific theory, being germ theory. Of course, microbes proliferate when tissue becomes devitalized during compromised health, but this is exactly what they are supposed to do when presented with dead and dying tissue. The microbes were there all along and are simply responding as designed to the change in the underlying terrain. For example, when a piece of beef is left at room temperature for a few days, we don't say that it is infected when the microbes start proliferating and breaking it down. It is nature's symphony in action, as the broken down tissue can be used to propagate even more life. Regardless, the reason the establishment don't do randomized control trials with vaccines is because the unvaccinated always have better health outcomes. In Virus Mania, we detail some of the very few RCTs that have been published, which show that vaccines are both ineffective and can increase all-cause mortality. All vaccines are filthy products that can cause disease, and the only benefit goes to those that peddle them and extract money from the public. The medical authorities are apparently concerned that some doctors are causing, quote, vaccine hesitancy. As former doctors, Mark and I don't aim to cause vaccine hesitancy. We aim to help people get to vaccine cessation by informing the public that it is one of the greatest swindles taking place. For example, watch what happens if a parent asks a doctor who is recommending the childhood vaccination schedule how much aluminium will be injected into their child, then get them to ask what a toxic dose of aluminium would be. Despite doctors enthusiastically promoting the practice, they are clueless that they are delivering toxic doses of aluminium to all their young patients. But of course, this is downstream from the higher level fraud. If you really want to see them go red in the face, ask them whether they can cite a controlled scientific study that provides evidence of pathogenic microbes. When you have been in the system, you get a front row seat in witnessing the fact that most medical practice today has nothing to do with following scientific evidence. The terms evidence-based medicine and best practice have been co-opted to make the practitioners in the system think that all of what they do is legitimate. Look at the circus going on with this Doctors Stand Up for Vaccination fiasco. We have one of the ringleaders, Elspeth Frascatore, with no demonstration she has even the slightest idea that COVID-19 is a fraud. She has not provided any of her own scientific analysis of the material she is unconditionally promoting. It is simply a marketing agent. But that doesn't matter to the over 6,500 doctors that signed her letter, because they don't bother to analyse any of the COVID source material either. The Medical Council lend their tacit support to such doctors, bolstering the confidence of Elspeth and her signatories, who are not worried by the unethical and anti-scientific arrangement that means the council will suspend and attempt to prosecute doctors who choose not to support the injections. Meanwhile, the council is populated by clueless individuals who, hopelessly out of their depth when it comes to any of the material being discussed, cite the government as the source of scientific evidence. And when it comes to such alleged scientific evidence, the government relies on Big Pharma thrown in with
sustained propaganda.
So we have the blind leading the naked in the circus. Doctors in the system are useful idiots for agendas they don't comprehend or don't care about. Any doctor that wakes up to the vaccine fraud and goes public is not able to practice, as they will have their license suspended. However, to be honest, I don't know why anyone would want to keep working within the framework when they have insight into what it is all about. One of the funniest comments we see from critics trying to undermine our work is that the Baileys don't have licenses to practice medicine anymore. Public announcement for these confused individuals. Mark and I exited the medical industry on our own volition and have no intention of ever returning to the sick system. To be clear, I'm not dismissing all aspects of the medical system, and there are some acute problems that it deals with well, but that is not the typical case. When it comes to our medical training, we have rejected the vast majority of it and now perform our own analyses of all the source material. Inevitably, we find that there is a much better way to health by avoiding the core practices of mainstream medicine. Now, although there has been a stir with the government in Switzerland, recently ending their recommendation to get the COVID jabs, and the Australian government dropping the AstraZeneca toxic shot, I hardly think this is anything to get excited about. They have already mass injected the population, and none of these stories have any impact on maintaining the overarching narratives and potential vaccine rollouts for the future. For instance, let's have a look at a recent example of how the mainstream presents COVID-19 quote controversies to keep the audience on the plantation.
Researchers at the Mercatus Center at George Mason put out a study that finds vaccine mandates didn't facilitate more vaccination levels or result in less transmission and COVID deaths. That includes here in D.C. Let's talk about the study with one of the researchers, Vitor Mello, who joins us live here at 10:45. And this is something that has been the topic of a lot of debate ever since these requirements were rolled out. Very controversial at the time. It seems, though, I would assume from your research at the time, a lot of these leaders thought that that would be the right thing to do.
Exactly. So a lot of people were claiming that these mandates were going to be effective, that it would save thousands of lives, that it would reduce the spread of COVID and all of those things. Really, the research that I conducted finds that none of those things really happened. So a lot of the claims that people were making, a lot of the thoughts that people had and expectations really didn't turn into reality.
So based on what we learned here and what you've learned here and what you've picked up from this research, you know, you have the idea that the mandates were not effective in your estimation, but people who decided to get the vaccine voluntarily, those are two different, we're looking at two separate tracks here, correct?
Exactly. So what my research shows is that people were still getting vaccinated after the mandate, but really we don't see any change in the amount of people that were being vaccinated relative to places where the mandate wasn't implemented. So the idea is in cities where the mandate didn't happen, they basically followed similar trends. So if DC, for example, didn't implement this mandate, we'd expect about the same amount of people getting vaccinated. And of course, we expect to see basically no change in the spread of COVID. So COVID cases, really, we didn't see any effect on that. And also COVID deaths.
Transmission, COVID cases and COVID deaths, along with whether vaccine mandates are a good idea or not. These are some of the permitted talking points in the limited hangout. At the end of the day, they avoid the foundational issues and maintain the illusions that A, SARS-CoV-2 and viruses exist, B, there was a pandemic and COVID-19 is a specific disease, C, disease can be transmitted by germs, and D, vaccines are legitimate therapies. There will be no let up to these overall narratives, and unless people wake up to them, they will constantly be going back to square one, as they deal with information that has been derived from false premises. The governments and institutions and doctors who supported baseless medical interventions and various assaults on the public will quietly slip out the back door as they always do. Although websites such as the short-lived Doctors Stand Up for Vaccination have been quietly disappeared, the signatories know that they can walk back in the front door the very next day. The Medical Council of New Zealand claims that its, quote, primary purpose is to protect patients and the public. It does nothing of the sort, and its actions protect the medico-pharmaceutical industry and endorse pseudoscience in conjunction with organisations such as the WHO and the Federation of State Medical Boards and their controllers. You cannot go to doctors in these systems and expect them to provide advice in your best interests. As always, be prepared to let go of old mindsets and learn to appraise things for yourself. Only you can achieve your perfect state of health, and a step on that journey is avoiding vaccines and the problems they can cause over a lifetime. If you or your children have been vaccinated, then you can look at some of my other videos for remedial action that may be indicated. The revelation that you don't need to subject your body to pharmaceuticals, and in general, don't need a doctor, should be embraced. I'll continue to cover your best ways to true health in my weekly videos. And don't forget, we cover additional material in our monthly Q&A sessions. Mark and I answer all kinds of questions from subscribers, so check the link in the description for how to sign up for this extra content. Even if objective evidence and reaction, sickness and death were lacking, which it is not, that vaccines and sera can cause disease, no very profound depth of intelligence is needed to envisage the ingeniousness of injecting the filthy products of disease into a healthy person to keep him well. At best, such conduct is a cynical reflection on divine spirit and law. Dr. Ulrich Williams, Terrain Therapy. If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com